Welcome, everyone. We're here to explore some important ideas together. Today, well, we're looking at something that feels especially relevant right now, living as Christians, in, let's face it, what often seems like a pretty complicated and sometimes challenging world.
It certainly can feel that way.
So the question becomes, what are those core truths we really need to anchor ourselves to?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even more vital, how do we actually live them out?
That's exactly what we want to explore. We're focusing today on Brother Steve's message from this past Wednesday night at New Life Benson. He drew some really profound points from the book of 1 John.
Mm.
And what stood out was how practical it felt, you know? Real guidance for living faithfully, effectively right now. It felt like a compass.
It really did. I thought he zeroed in so well on two main things. First, that visible mark of Christian love. You can't miss it, or you shouldn't be able to. And second, the absolute necessity of spiritual growth. It's not optional. So our goal here is to unpack what these really mean for us, sitting here, listening right now, and how we can apply them in our lives. I'll start with that first theme, the love.
Okay.
Brother Steve kicked it off, talking about the Holy Spirit. He reminded us how, after Jesus ascended, the Spirit came to live in us. Mm-hmm. And he presented it not just as theology, but as this genuinely transformative power source. It enables a whole new kind of love flowing through us. It's a huge concept when you pause on it.
It really is. And one of the insights he shared was that this love isn't, well, it's not primarily about how much we feel love towards God. That's part of it, sure.
Yeah.
But it's fundamentally rooted in God's incredible love for us. And then that divine love flows through us to each other. It's meant to be tangible, visible.
So people can actually see it.
Exactly. So the world can see it. He pointed out that loving others is an old commandment. Yes, it's in the law. But it takes on this radical newness because of Christ. Because Jesus didn't just talk about it. He perfectly embodied it. He lived it. He set a completely new benchmark for what love looks like.
That distinction, the old versus the new in Christ, that's really significant. It's not just an idea.
Yeah.
And Brother Steve didn't shy away from the hard parts either. He brought up 1 John 2.1.
Mm-hmm. The contrast.
Yeah. He who hates his brother is in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. That verse just stops you in your tracks, doesn't it? Makes you look inward.
It really does. And the imagery he used for darkness, like being lost in a pitch black cave.
Right.
Terrified to move, just groping around, completely disoriented. And here's a crucial point he made. Hate isn't only, you know, outright malice.
Okay, what else though?
It includes disdain, contempt, and maybe the most challenging for us, indifference.
Indifference, just not caring.
Exactly. Having no regard for that person's condition. Simply not being bothered about their struggles or needs. In God's eyes, Brother Steve explained, that's treated as equivalent to hate.
Wow, that's sobering.
It is. He was very clear. People walking in that kind of indifference, regardless of what they say about knowing God, they're outside the kingdom. It directly challenges that claim. Remember 1 John 1.5-6, God is light. In him is no darkness at all.
Right.
So if you claim fellowship but walk in that darkness of indifference or hate, well, you're not living in the truth.
That's a tough word, but a necessary one.
Mm-hmm.
It forces an examination of, well, all our interactions.
Yeah.
Every single day. Not just with people we like.
Mm-hmm.
The implications for how we live, how we represent Christ, are just huge. It's about our heart's posture, not just a feeling.
Precisely. And that ties straight into Jesus' own command, the new commandment in John 13.34. Love one another as I have loved you.
You also love one another.
The newness is that standard. As I have loved you, that was totally unprecedented. Nobody had ever seen love like that before. It was perfectly shown in Jesus himself.
And Brother Steve painted such a clear picture of that, didn't he? Recalling Jesus' ministry. Just think about it for a second. His constant providing, teaching, forgiving. The grace, the mercy, the incredible patience he showed. Even when his own disciples were, let's be honest, often struggling with doubt, pride, even greed.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And then that act of washing their feet, it's just such a powerful picture of humble, sacrificial service, getting down on his knees for them.
Knowing what was coming, knowing one would betray him, others deny it.
Exactly. It shows a love that's beyond our normal human way of thinking.
That act really did symbolize his whole ministry, you know, his willingness to humble himself, to serve, ultimately to lay down his life for his friends.
That's the standard.
That humility, that sacrifice, that's the new benchmark for his followers. It pushes us to think about what serving really means beyond just talking about it.
Which leads right to the ultimate test, the proof. Brother Steve highlighted 1 John, is it 3.16 or John 13.35? Oh, John 13.35.
John 13.35, yes. By this all will know that you're my disciples.
If you have love for each other. That's it. That's the identifier, the non-negotiable mark.
He really emphasized that point. This love isn't just a nice add-on. It's the heart and soul of your Christian testimony. It's the foundation that makes the gospel believable to people watching us.
Mm-hmm.
If we say we know God but don't show love for each other, our message just, it feels empty, doesn't it?
It does. It rings hollow.
Christians, he said, are meant to be lovers. Brokenhearted for those outside the kingdom, yes, wanting them to know Christ, but also filled with deep care and affection for fellow believers.
And that connects to our own assurance, too.
Yes. He tied it to 1 John 5.13, the confidence of our salvation. Walking in this love brings joy, a desire to obey God, even while we know we fail sometimes. He even brought in the Old Testament prophecies.
Oh, right. From Jeremiah and Ezekiel.
Yeah, about God writing his laws on our hearts. It points to this internal change, the Spirit enabling this kind of radical, Christ-like love. It's not just a rule. It becomes possible from the inside out.
That's powerful. Our love for each other, stemming from his love for us, being the bedrock of our witness, really sets us apart. And that flows so well into the second key truth Brother Steve focused on. Spiritual growth is essential.
Yes, the imperative to grow.
He drew that from 1 John 2, verses 12, 14, talking about believers as little children, young men, and fathers.
It's such a clear analogy, isn't it? Physical life means growth. A seed grows into a plant, a puppy into a dog, a baby into an adult. It's natural, expected.
Right.
So spiritual life given by God is intended to grow too, towards maturity. Cool. When we see a child failing to thrive, it's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Steve stressed that failing to grow spiritually is just as tragic, maybe more so. It stops believers from experiencing all the spiritual blessings God has for you.
So growth isn't just a nice goal. It's evidence of life.
That's the point. It's evidence of spiritual vitality. No growth raises the question, is there really life there?
So it's more than just something nice to aim for. Brother Steve called it both a privilege and a serious obligation for every believer.
Yes, exactly. It puts the responsibility on us to cultivate that mindset, that desire to actively become more like Christ. It requires effort on our part.
We have to participate.
We do. He referenced Paul in Philippians 3 about pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call.
Of God in Christ Jesus, yes.
That upward call isn't just about getting to heaven eventually. It's about a continual climbing, a daily effort to become more like Jesus now here on earth.
Which leads to that ultimate transformation in heaven.
Right, as Romans 8.29 talks about, being conformed to his image. Brother Steve used those down-to-earth examples. In business, you set goals.
Right.
In sports, like golf, you're always working to improve.
Mm.
Maturity means setting new goals. And 1 John 2.6 sums it up. He who abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. That's our life's aim.
And he connected this to everything the church does.
He did. He really emphasized that all ministries, from the nursery right up to adult teaching, have this one core purpose.
Mm.
Equipping believers to grow up in him in all things, aiming for the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Quoting Ephesians 4.
So we need to want it, like a baby wants milk.
Exactly. Actively desiring the pure milk of the word, like Peter says, with real hunger. It's an active pursuit, not passive.
Okay. And discussing this growth, he used that term sanctification.
Yes, which can sound a bit technical, but he explained it really clearly.
Can you walk us through that again, the three parts?
Sure. He broke it down into three aspects. First, positional sanctification.
Okay.
This happens instantly when we're saved. Done deal. We're set apart from sin, declared pure in God's sight because Christ's righteousness is credited to us. It's imputed.
Like it's put into our account.
Exactly. Colossians 2.10 says we're complete in him. 2 Corinthians 5.21, that amazing verse, says God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's our fixed standing, perfect in Christ.
Wow. Okay, so that's positional. What's next?
Second is future, or ultimate sanctification. That's heaven, our glorious future state where we'll be totally free from sin's presence, not just its penalty, utterly pure forever, no more struggle.
Okay. And the third?
The third is what we live day to day, progressive sanctification. This is the ongoing journey, the increasing separation from our old self, the old man, and its ways.
Becoming more like Christ now.
Right. Becoming more like him here on earth. It's that continuous, sometimes difficult, but ultimately rewarding process of maturing spiritually. It's lifelong.
Got it. Then he gave two foundational truths about this growth. The first one felt really important for our security.
It is. He stated it very clearly. Spiritual growth has nothing to do with your standing before God in Christ.
Say that again. That's huge.
Spiritual growth has nothing to do with your standing before God in Christ. Our standing, he emphasized, is settled, fixed forever the moment we trust in Jesus, covered by his blood, his righteousness. Think Philippians 3.9. So how much we grow here, whether we feel like spiritual children or fathers, that doesn't change our perfect standing in Christ. God sees us as righteous because of Jesus, not because of how well we're doing today.
That acceptance is a gift, not earned by our grace.
Exactly. It's secure.
That brings such incredible peace, knowing our struggles don't change how God sees us in Christ. And then he left us hanging a bit with this second foundational statement.
He did, setting it up for later, perhaps. He said, spiritual growth has nothing to do with God's love for you.
Which really makes you think, his love isn't based on our progress either. That's something to chew on.
Definitely.
So wrapping this up, Brother Steve's message really gives us these two huge takeaways from 1 John. First, that undeniable sacrificial love, the defining mark of a disciple, has to be our clearest testimony. And second, that vital ongoing journey of spiritual growth, progressive sanctification, becoming more like Jesus day by day.
It's such a crucial pairing. And it leaves us with a question, doesn't it? In a world that seems increasingly dark, divided, indifferent. How could actively living out this kind of Christ-like love, really committing to that journey of growth, all while resting secure in our standing in God's unchanging love, how could that empower us to truly glorify God, to shine his light so clearly that people can't mistake it?
That really is the question for all of us to wrestle with, isn't it?
It is.
Well, we really hope this conversation encourages you to think deeply about these truths, reflect on how they touch your own life, and really seek to apply them day in and day out. Thanks for exploring these ideas with us today.